Amen. Let's put our hands together and thank all the worship team and all the dedicated people, all the volunteers, the welcome team downstairs, upstairs, sound booth, everywhere. There's all kinds of volunteers. It's about probably 30 or 40 people that are making this happen. And we're just so grateful for that. Thank you guys so much. You may be seated. Good morning. This morning, I have on my heart to share a message entitled, Don't Be Ashamed of the Cross. Don't be ashamed of the cross. Last night, we had the privilege and the honor to visit our brother Herb and our sister Sandy and their family to have dinner together. And we began to share stories of our life and our children and ministry. And one of the stories that came up that I thought is going very well with this message that I'm about to share, so I included this story this morning. But I remember Haley coming home one day, and she was sharing the story that happened to her with our daughter, middle daughter. And she was, during that time, about 5 years old. So they were at the store, and of course, we do not celebrate Halloween. We celebrate the resurrection of Christ. So we were just encouraging kids, you know, you love on people, you share the gospel. So it was during Halloween weekend, or the Halloween season, I should say. And of course, our children are looking to the right and to the left, and everything that they see, it's an opportunity to share the gospel because it's evidence those people are not saved. And we're trying to teach them, Linnea, it's not always like that. People understand differently. It's a journey for each person. But she was so convinced that all of them who are celebrating Halloween, they shall get saved. So one day they were at a store, and she's looking, and this lady in front of Haley and her, she bought a bunch of stuff to celebrate Halloween. And Linnea's looking at what she bought, and she looks at Haley, her mom, and says, Mom, is she saved? She's 5 years old. And of course, Haley says, I don't know. Why don't you ask her? And she's so bold. She says, excuse me, do you know Jesus? And the lady looks at her, smiles, and says, of course I know Jesus. And then Linnea looks at everything that she bought. She says, I don't think so. But it's so important. If a five-year-old kid has the boldness to share the gospel, even in moments like that, that can be awkward. Me and you are never to be ashamed of the cross and the gospel of Jesus Christ. I've heard the story of Billy Graham being invited to this college that everyone was so educated, and he was very fearful. He shares the story of saying that one time when he was alone and he was filled with fear, going, everybody so smart in that college. What am I going to share this gospel with them? So I have to impress them. I have to come up with things. I have to put things together that sound very good. And I believe he was there for 3 or 4 nights preaching the gospel to that elite college. So the first night, he's trying to impress everyone, and nothing. The second night, nothing. Third night, nothing. And then he got convicted. Billy Graham preached the gospel. Preach about the cross and the blood of Jesus. And it seemed like, but God, I'm in this college. Everybody's so smart. It's about the blood. It's about the cross. But God prompted him to go back to what the power or where the power is. And he began to share about the blood of Jesus. And that night, many people, many of these young people gave their life to Jesus. So in the moment when he thought that, well, how about I'm going to hide a little bit to the side about the blood of Christ, about the cross and the price that was paid on the cross, and I'm going to try to win them intellectually. It never works. It has to be the work of the Holy Spirit, and we are never to be ashamed of the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on the cross to share about that, and of course, the power of the cross and his resurrection. Last week, we had dinner with Pastor Jay and Fiona, and we were just talking about the works of God. We were just sharing life in ministry, and one of the stories that they shared stood out to me so powerfully. that inside I was choking up. Thank God we finished eating and we had to leave the restaurant. But Pastor Jay was sharing how that was the first miracle that he has seen. There was a church in UK that there was a woman battling cancer, and it was to the point that she was dying. It was bone and skin. No hope, cancer all over her body. And the pastor invited her to come up front and he would pray for her. So he would anoint her head with oil. He would anoint her feet with oil and they would pray for her. So this happened, I believe, for 8 weeks. And people from the church and around him, they thought that probably he's nuts. What is he doing? Week after week, service after service, he would have her come and he would pour oil on her head, pour oil on her feet and pray for her. And after 8 weeks, God healed her. And till this day, she's alive. When I've heard that story, something arose in me. Oh God, you can do this. You can continue to do this. Would we believe you for the impossible? You see, this journey of the cross, this journey preaching the gospel, this journey of miracles, it's not always polished. It gets messy. And because we, in our own mind as human beings, because everything is kind of messy and complicated, we at times think that we're going to take the safe road. We will take the road that everything sounds intelligent, everything sounds very smart, everything has to make sense, instead of saying, oh God, help me to look like a fool for this world, but help me to partake from the miracles that you have in my life. And I was brought to the story. But before I read the story from the passage of the Word of God, I'm glad to share this message with you that you would be and I would be filled with courage to share the gospel, especially during this Easter season that we are about to enter. A great opportunity to invite people to church, to invite people to your home, yes, hospitality, to invite people to the restaurant, maybe pay for their meal, and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so often I hear here in the United States, people say, Happy Easter. Do you say that as well? Happy Easter. I think it would be a little bit of boldness in our end to say, Christ is risen. Christ is risen. And hopefully the response will be, He is risen indeed. And the people that can say that are people that are being transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit and born again. So I want to encourage you through this message to take a step of faith, to do things that maybe are crazy for this world, but you walk in obedience. I'm not talking for you to be weird now, okay? I'm not talking about start doing weird things. Be led by the Spirit. Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And to say, God, if you're calling me to do this, would you help me? Because I don't have anything within inside of me naturally to share the hope of Christ. To tell them about the blood of Jesus that was shed on a cross for their sin. Because it sounds so weird. No, but just speak in boldness. Because the power is in the blood of Christ. It's in the finished work on a cross. And we pray that we will see the same results as Billy Graham seen the fourth day when he decided to put all the things that he prepared aside and preach the gospel. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 9, verse 27 and down says this. When Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out loud, saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he had come into their house, the blind man came to him. And Jesus said to them, Do you believe that I am able to do this? And this is a question for me and for you. Do you believe that Jesus is able to do that? Do you believe that Jesus is able to save? You do not save people. I do not save people. We are just messengers. But the same question is for me and for you. Do we believe that Jesus can do this? That Jesus can save people? That Jesus can transform people? They said to him, Yes, Lord. Then he touched their eyes, saying, According to your faith, let it be to you. And their eyes were opened. And Jesus sternly warned them, saying, "See that no one knows it." If you want to make sure that you want somebody to keep a secret, tell them not to say it. It will be just the opposite. But when they had departed, they spread the news about him in all that country. My brothers, my sisters, as we've sang this morning, Jesus did so much for me and for you. And as a result, let us spread the news about Jesus. Especially being intentional during this season, approaching Easter, let us spread the news what Jesus did in our life. And he continues in verse 32, "As they went out, behold, they brought to him a man, mute and demon-possessed. And when the demon-possessed was cut out, the mute spoke, and the multitude marveled, saying, 'It was never seen like this in Israel.' But the Pharisees said, 'He casts out demons by the ruler of demons.'" And of course, we know that that's a lie, because the Pharisees, they had a form of godliness, but denying the power of Christ. But Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, having the power and the authority to unlock the mouth of the mute, to heal them, and to cast out the demons, and he can do that today as well. And he continues in verse 35, and this is what I want to stop for a few moments and talk to you this morning. Then Jesus, I want to remind all of us that this is the qualities that we should pray to have in our lives. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. What gospel was he preaching? Of the kingdom. It's not our gospel. We don't share our philosophy, but we share the gospel of the kingdom of God. And he continues, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Verse 36, but when he, meaning Jesus, saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. You see, the Bible says that Jesus looked and he saw the multitudes. And when he saw something, the Bible says that he was moved. Do you think that Jesus did not know the people beforehand? Do you think that Jesus did not know the situation of the people? Of course he knew. That's why he came to this world. But there was something about his heart still that when he saw the multitudes of people, he saw the distress, he saw the pain, he saw the hunger, he saw the people that are lost. And the Bible says that he was moved inside. This is the first thing that needs to happen to us, to see the need and to pray, "Oh God, help me when I see the need, that I can respond, that I can be that person that whenever when I pray, 'Oh God, I pray that you would use somebody to preach the gospel, that you would use somebody to help those that are in need.'" And I've shared this so many times, but my prayer often is, "God, help me to be the answer to my own prayer." It's so easy to pray for God to do something in this world, to use other people, but not me. I'm a prayer warrior. Really. Or we can say, "God, help me to see. Help me to see the need. And when I see the need, I pray that you would move my heart. And when you move my heart, as a result will be compassion." Compassion. And when my heart is filled with compassion, I will do things through the Spirit of God that in my natural strength I would not do. I would share a meal. I would invite somebody over. I would pray for somebody and believe for healing. I would do things that I will feel led by the Holy Spirit to do, that in my own natural strength, I'm not capable of doing. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary. Brothers and sisters, there's a whole generation that is weary in the day we live in, especially with the technology and the things that are oppressing them from this world. People are weary. Sometimes you can't even talk to people anymore face to face. They'd rather you text them or call them or email them. Sometimes you can't even get somebody to go for a walk. It's so hard sometimes when you talk with people for them to even focus to look in your face. But they need a touch. Every miracle almost that he says, Jesus did. And Jesus touched them. And Jesus touched the blind. And Jesus touched the leper. In another case, of course, it was go, just with words. But people, we are made to be people that are in need of emotional support. That we're in need of a hug, we're in need of prayer, we're in need of somebody just being there, looking in our eyes and saying, I will believe that you will overcome. And we need to do this. And for this to happen, we need to see, move with compassion, respond to that, because people are weary and they are scattered like sheep, having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of harvest to send the laborers into his harvest. My brothers and my sisters, we are one of the most unique churches, I think, in this area, where you can find every reason to say, well, God, I want to go to Africa, but now I can't, or I want to go whatever country. And we can find all these excuses. Well, Africa came to us through the students of Summit International School of Ministry. Mexico came to us. Russia came to us. Ukraine came to us. Every country in the world that is sending students, they come to us, and we have one of the greatest opportunities to invest into these people. Through them, we are a part of what God is doing in their life to preach the gospel to the hands of the world. Hallelujah. You have that opportunity. We have that opportunity. Maybe none of us are capable or able or have the means to go somewhere, but we are here already in the house of God. Let us take time to go downstairs after service to connect with these young people. Let us take time to pray for them. Let us take time to support them in whatever, how God moves your heart to do. And to say, we're gonna preach the gospel through different avenues that God has given us here in this church. There is a world that is in need of this message. And we are never to be ashamed of the cross. We are never to be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In my closing, as the worship team comes, the book of Romans chapter 1 verse 16 and down says this, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. Why? Because it's the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. You see, God is calling me and you to preach the gospel. But then there is a condition. He says, to everyone who believes. We are to walk in obedience to share this gospel, but now it's up to the people to believe the gospel. So we cannot say, well, God, you can do everything. You can appear to them by yourself through the Holy Spirit. Of course he can. But he had given us a commission to do this as a body of Christ. First to the Jews, then to the Gentiles. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. A righteousness that is by faith, from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous or the just shall live by faith. Hallelujah. In the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 14 and down says this. How then they shall hear, or they shall call him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And he continues in verse 15. And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, not the gospel of wrath. We're very good to take a stick sometimes and just beat people. But the gospel of peace, the peace that surpasses all understanding, who brings glad tidings of good things, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Israel says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hallelujah. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The last passage, if you can open up with me to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16, verse 14 and down. These are the words of Jesus Christ. And in my life and in your life, if we had moments to spend time with our loved ones, especially before they pass on, you almost grasp upon each word that they say because they're so important, right? Jesus could have said, be blessed. Live your life, multiply. Stay away from the world, hide in your houses. Don't tell anybody about the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'll empower you to have the strength to withstand. Did he say that? Of course not. And the Bible says this. In Mark chapter 16, verse 14 and down. Later, he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table. And he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. You see, they had a hard time believing things that logically does not make sense. And he rebuked them. He corrected them. Verse 15. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. My brothers, my sisters, for those that believe. And I was so stern last week when I've heard the story to say, God, help us to believe. Help us, because we are prompt always to play safely, not to look like a fool. What if it doesn't happen? It's not up to me and to you if it happens or not. It's up to me and to you to walk in obedience. And I want to believe to say, God, when I meet people, when I pray for people, when I talk with people, I pray that your Holy Spirit will come and do the work that only you can do. So then, after the Lord has spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and hid themselves in the basement because they were filled with fear, like before the crucifixion of Jesus. Does it say that? And they went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. The Lord joined there. That's amazing. That when we do what God says through his word for us to do, the Holy Spirit will affirm the work that we're doing. So I want to encourage you this morning. Preach the gospel and do not be ashamed of the gospel, as Apostle Paul teaches Timothy. Do not be ashamed to speak the whole counsel of God. Love on people. Talk with people. Pray for people. Share your story with people. Embrace people. Don't take another route when you see a need, but say, God, if I see the need, would you give me a heart now so I can be moved with compassion to respond to the need. Help me to do what you've called me to do. Help me to respond to the gospel, because it's your command for us to live out this gospel and to preach and share with others. And if my five-year-old daughter can do that in her own way, how much more we can do it in a more polished way to love on people, because people are hurting there. People are filled with fear. People are going through a hard time. So many don't know how they will make it. So many are struggling financially. They don't know how they will pay the bills. So many are struggling in their marriage. So many are single moms. So many are widows. And the Bible is calling me and you to be the answer to the need that is out there. And I want to encourage you during this season, getting ready for Easter, to make a point, at least one family, to reach out that is in need, to help them that is in need, and to say, God, help me to be the very answer to my prayer. So no longer I'm praying, send somebody, but send me. But as I was here worshiping this morning, I was not planning to do the altar call. You know why? Because if I was to do the altar call, this kind of messages would require all of us to respond. So we will respond where we are, in our seats. But I believe the Lord impressed upon my heart to do one altar call this morning. And it may be for one person or for a few. But if you have backslidden and today you're not walking with the Lord the way you should, this moment is your day to say, oh God, I'm responding to the love of Jesus Christ. I pray that you would come and strengthen me and reveal yourself to me in a deeper way. Recommit your life to Jesus. You're not meant to live this life mediocrely. You're not meant to just make it through, but you're meant to be filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with power to overcome every sin in this world. And I'll be, in the days to come, I'll be praying about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. For the past little while, God has been so impressing into my heart about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or how we need it, how much we need it in the world that we live in. Because we can very much acquaint with Billy Graham during the first 3 days to sound very educated. But when we go to the simplicity of the gospel and say, this is what the Bible says, and I'm going to take it for what it is. Because I remember as a child meeting in the homes where there was no AC, people would smell. People would work, most of them were farmers. They would work all day, but then for hours people would meet and pray. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, we need that again. God has never called me and you to just live this life and just get through and pretend like everything is fine. I know we're talking about the need out there, but we need to be empowered to see that, to have compassion, to respond to the need out there. So as I was worshiping, the Lord has impressed upon my heart to give this altar call either to one or to a few. If your life is not what it should be, if you're living in willful sin, if you're living not even praying anymore, if you're just waking up and you're just doing the same thing all over again and again and again, and you're empty in Jesus Christ, there is forgiving and also there is restoration. God can restore you. Adam and Eve, they lost that relationship with Jesus in the garden, but through the cross, Jesus Christ became the bridge for me and for you to restore the relationship with Him. And I'm telling you this morning, He loves you with everlasting love. He's not mad at you. He's not casting you away because you did not perform. And don't do this to become a better person. Do this because Jesus loves you and you love Him. So this morning, take a step of faith. I'm not gonna ask you to bow the heads down to do, no, I'm gonna ask you to look around and boldly to say, no, I need Jesus. I need Him to touch my life. I'm sick and tired living in the wilderness. I'm sick and tired living empty. The purpose is only found in Jesus. You can have many things, but Jesus is the only one that can fulfill the emptiness of your heart. And if you had given at one point your life to Jesus Christ, but for different reasons, you've been living this life very warm, very casual. This morning, the gospel of Jesus Christ and what I'm asking you to share with other people is offered to you as well. Because without Him, we are lost. But with Him, we are found. Hallelujah. So if this is you, with all of us looking and cheering in a minute for you, if you're here, would you raise your hand and we'll pray for you to say, God, I need my relationship with You to get better. I'm walking through the wilderness and I'm sick and tired to remain in this wilderness. Would You meet me and would You stir my heart so I can believe again for the impossible, to walk in victory? So if this is you, would you raise your hand and we're just gonna cheer for you if this is you here and pray for you. I see two hands. Three, four, anyone else? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let us stand together. Let us stand together. God loves you. He loves you with everlasting love. And it's nothing magical. It's nothing that we can do to make you feel a little fuzzy. None of that. All what it is simple. God, I believe. I believe, like the blind man when he came, are you willing? And Jesus says, I am willing to make you whole. I believe. And without faith, it's impossible to please Him. So if you want to be where you are, or if you want to come here up front, it's up to you. You respond how you want. Nobody will judge you. This is the place, this is the safest place in the house of God where you can come and express yourself to the Lord and to say, like that man, oh God, have mercy upon me, sinner. I pray that You would come and restore, oh Father, the relationships between Your sons and Your daughters. God, I pray that You would come and fill their hearts with the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, we need You. We need You. God, we need You. We need You to give us the power and the authority to say no to the world, no to ungodliness, no to sin, and to say yes to You. God, I pray that when we come into Your presence, that we will push away the condemnations that come from the enemy, because it's Your goodness who leads us to repentance. Oh God, it's Your goodness that leads us to Yourself. And You're not there to push us away from You, but You're loving us and embracing us. Oh God, I pray for my brothers and sisters that lift their hands up. It took them so much courage to do that. And I pray that You would honor that, oh God. I pray that You would meet them in the wilderness where they are. I pray, oh God, that You would baptize them with a desire for prayer, a desire to read Your word, a desire for Your presence. God Almighty, I pray that You would come into their homes, into their marriages, into their walks, and the conviction of the Holy Spirit will be so strong in their lives. God, I pray that You would walk with us as You walked with those disciples on the road to Emmaus, discouraged, broken. God, I pray that You would walk with some of us that are discouraged and broken, and that You would remind us of Your promises, and that You would lead us to the cross when we will break bread with You, that our eyes will be open for us to see for who You are. Thank You for the blood of Christ that was paid on a cross and was shed on a cross for our sins. Thank You for dying and resurrecting on that third day for our righteousness. And help us now not to keep to ourselves this good news, but give us the ability to share with others. In Jesus' name, amen. So during the song, if you desire, you may come here wherever where you are. But let's spend a moment in God's presence, praying and singing and asking the Lord to renew our relationship with Him before we share this with other people. God bless you.